come together to study as we have the opportunity to do so. Be here to uplift one another, to help each other continue to fight that good fight. If you want to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is where the lesson will be coming from this evening. It will be the main passage for this evening, as I will refer and talk about other passages and maybe even turn to them, probably turn to a lot of them. But this will be the focus of the lesson. In Hebrews chapter 3, you're opening up there. We're going to be reading starting in verse 7. Hebrews 3, starting in verse 7. Here it says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." So the title of the lesson for tonight, Day of Trial in the Wilderness. Of course, that's as we read there in verse 8, that he warned us not to be like the children of Israel in that time. And looking to that as he looks at the children of Israel, and we're going through Judges right now, of course, and we see time and again how they go back and forth with God. 40 years of rest and 7 years in captivity, 30 years, 8 years, it's just so much time. But as soon as the leader dies, the judge that God selected, it seems they go right back into sin. And we can look to today, and I've had a few already approach, and just say, look out today can be to the times Israel lived and how they were being tested and how God used this to prepare them. And so we can often look to the Old Testament to help us today. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, as it's not the binding of the law of Moses today, that we don't go forth and read the Ten Commandments or go forth and look through the law of Moses and point out these things as binding under the Old Testament. But we look to them as an example of who our God is, because God has not changed. As we look at God's love in the Old Testament, it's there, and we can show how God is still loving today. As we look at the wrath of God in the Old Testament, we can look at that to use it as an example, to show and teach, because God's wrath will come upon those who do not obey in the end time. We can look to the Old Testament and learn from it. There for our learning. That's why we read about it so much in the New Testament. We read about them quoting the Old Testament as they prophesied about Christ. We study the Old Testament and we learn from it. So I want to learn from this example here as it talks about the children of Israel and their day of trial. Because as we live our lives upon this earth, each day we live is a day that is going to test you. You got to make a decision, as we talked this morning, that we have to count the cost of what our decisions are when we make those decisions. So the first thing I want to look at as we look through these verses is today, if you will hear, as you read out there in verse 7. The Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice. Again, this is the same thing we can look at in the Old Testament. God sent one prophet after another. As we're studying Judges, God sent a judge. And sometimes we read about, as we were reading about Gideon, there's a prophet that came to him, to them, before that. It sends an angel to Gideon. It sends an angel to other men. And so God continuously speaks to the children of Israel, continuously gives them opportunity to hear Him out, to listen, to repent, to turn to Him. And I want to focus on that part of today, though. Today, if you will hear. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9 tells us, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And so here, God is declaring to us that he is patient. He is a patient God. He is a long-suffering God. He's allowed this world to continue to turn and turn and around and around, and he's allowed us to grow old. But there's a reason he's done it, because he don't desire to send everybody to hell. He don't desire for his wrath to come upon you. He desires that all come to repentance. Sometimes we get caught up and focus on, well, I have tomorrow to take care of my sin. I have tomorrow to sit down and think about what it is I need to do, because we're counting on God's long suffering. The problem is as you continue to read after verse 9 and verse 10, and it says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. An element will be fervent heat, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? The Lord will come. There is a day set aside, our Father has set aside, to destroy all things. The problem is, we don't know if that's tonight. We don't know if that's tomorrow. We don't know if that's another 1,000 years down the line. We don't know. And so we can't sit here and just count on God's long suffering. We have to be thankful that he's blessed us with today and take advantage of it today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 2, 2 Corinthians 6 and in verse 9, not verse 9, verse 2, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2, it says, for he says, in an acceptable time, I have heard you. And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is what God has blessed you with. You read further, you go back to 2 Peter 3. You go back to 2 Peter 3 as we talk about his own suffering. We talk about his patience with us. And then we come and refer that today. Verse 15, it says, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. It says, consider today the long-suffering, the patience that he's allowed you to live another day, salvation. Why? Because it's a day that you get to sit down and examine your life. It's a day that you have the opportunity to pray to God for forgiveness. The day that you have not been baptized, that he's blessed you with, to come forward, to be baptized, to wash your sins away. Today is the day of salvation. The day that he's blessed you to seek his forgiveness. That he has granted you to show you mercy. Today, if you will. How many times God gave this opportunity to the children of Israel? How many times he allowed them to live in the wilderness for 40 years? You know, he could have struck them down at any time. He could have destroyed them at any time. Even as Moses was leading the children of Israel, God finally got tired of them. God declared to Moses, says, let me destroy them. I will make a new people that will listen, that will obey. Moses says, no, we can't do that. What will everybody else say about you? About a God who destroyed his own people. Not keeping the covenant that you've made with him. Not able to deliver them. He gave them time after time also. You go back to Hebrews and you read through those verses. Another part that we would read about, and this is two different verses there, that it says, do not harden your heart, because the children of Israel, they were always going astray. Don't harden our heart as we listen to the Word of God, because that's what the children of Israel continuously got caught up doing. Your minds might go to the Pharaoh before they even got into the wilderness here, as we talk about hardening their heart, because that's where my mind goes, at least, as we read about Moses approaching the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh would harden his heart. God told Moses that he would harden his heart. It is simply that when the Pharaoh heard the words of God, he did not like them. He had too much pride, too much selfishness,
And he decided, no, I'm supposed to be God. Everybody's supposed to be worshiping me. Everybody's supposed to be doing what I say to do. So therefore, he would harden his heart. He would get mad. He would do evil to the children of Israel. And he would not let them go. Did it until he led his people to the Red Sea to die. The children of Israel would get caught up in doing the same thing. They would harden their heart as they continue throughout God delivering them. You go to Exodus chapter 5, verse 21. As they get to the Red Sea, God, or not, this is even the Red Sea yet. Here Moses has said that he would deliver them. And he approached the Pharaoh. And Pharaoh decided to make things harder on the children of Israel, to make them work even more, give them more work to do, and yet expected them to make the same amount of stuff. So here in Exodus 5 and verse 21, Exodus 5 and verse 21, here the children of Israel start their complaining. They said to them, "Let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us aberrant in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of the servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us." They couldn't figure out why the Pharaoh, why they would work us more harder now. Why did they do this? Well, he says, because it seems like you're so lazy and you have so much free time that you want to go serve to your God. His heart was hardened. Now remember, when Moses first came to the elders and he showed them the sign with the staff, they were all happy and ready to follow Moses out into the wilderness, go and make sacrifice. And as soon as something turned against them, as soon as things got a little hard, they were ready to point fingers and start their complaining. Hearts were hard. As soon as they get to the Red Sea, they complain, "You brought us out because there was not enough graves in Egypt, so that we would die by the hands of the Egyptians." They cross the Red Sea and the Egyptians are destroyed. What do they complain? "We need some water. This is bitter water. We can't drink it. You brought us out here to die of thirst." "We got some water. That's not enough. We're going to die of hunger. You brought us out of Egypt where we had pots of food and we could stir up whatever we wanted. We can make anything of our true choice." Well, God provided for them food. God gave them bread from heaven. God had the winds blow in the quail so that they could eat some meat from the birds. God provided for the children of Israel. They hardened their hearts. They complained. They worried. And then you get to Exodus 32 as he delivers them one time after another as enemies come upon them. And the only reason they were victorious, they could see the hand of God in it, right? Because Moses held up the staff in one hand, and as he held the staff up, they were victorious. But as his arm gets tired, and it starts to go down, they start to lose. So his brother Aaron, his sister Miriam, holds up his arm, and they continue to battle. Joshua leading them, and they are victorious. They see the hand of God in all this. And they go and make a golden calf here. Moses is in the mountain just for a little while, and they said, "We don't know what's happened to Moses, whether he's still alive or not. Make us a God." Not plead to God, pray to God, give us a sign to show us that you're still there. It is make us a new God. They were tested continuously, and the choices they made had because they saw the signs as we brought out. We go through all this, what God had done for them. They saw the works. I mean, before they even started wandering, everything we're talking about, this is before they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and God continued to provide. God and the plagues. I mean, God, these plagues that came up on Egypt. And God is able to keep it from coming upon the land in which they dwell. And God allowing them to put blood on their door so that their firstborns didn't die. Passover. God shows that he can punish the evil and provide for the righteous. God gave them the food. God gave them water from a rock, bread from heaven,
had so many birds, the ground was covered.
Yet they were continuously hardened on us. And again, especially as we look at within the nation that we live in, how blessed we are compared to other countries. And I know is that we can sit and we can talk politics, and we can sit and talk about how things can go the other direction so quickly. It might happen. We have to be ready. We've still been blessed with so much time of freedom of religion. So much freedom to be able to come in and worship without fear of persecution. Freedom to be able to go out and teach without fear of persecution. We take advantage of it. Or do we complain about how hard it is, about how we have to get up in the morning, how we have to come to service, how many times we're together, and having another couple meeting, have to do it every day that week. Now we're put on this test. God wants to know how faithful we are going to be. Do you desire that home in heaven? Because as we read here, they saw the works. We had it right here to read through Genesis in the days of creation. We can read about the plagues. We can read how he provided through Judges. And how often do we read through and we say, how does the children of Israel continue go back into sin? You might say, how stupid can they be? I'm telling you, as I go through judging, it's just so hard. But as we bring out time and again, well, a generation, another generation grew up, knows not the Lord. Then we have to sit back and ask, did I do my part in teaching my children? Did I do part in reaching out to others and trying to help? Teaching classes of young ones to make sure they have a foundation to grow on, that their faith is being built up so that they are ready to go into that. Look at the next part, continuing the points through Hebrews chapter 3 there. God's wrath to come up on. He would not allow them to enter into that place of rest. Go along with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. As they enter in, trying to enter into the land, God is ready to fight for it. They've seen all these signs that we talked about. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26, it says, nevertheless, you would not go, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us.
Again, just look at that.
We just listed off the things that God has done with them. Not to mention when they do wander through the wilderness, I imagine during this time also, he did not let their sandals get wore out, his clothes didn't wear out, they didn't have to go and replace anything. When they left Egypt, they was able to take the silver and the gold and the jewels, and they were able to make this tabernacle. I mean, look what God had done for them. God hates us. That's what they say. God hates us. He has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged the harvest, saying the people are greater, taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, and we've seen the sons that anchor there. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, in the wilderness where you saw the Lord your God carried you. A man carries his son and all the way that you went until he came to this place. Yet for all that, you did not believe the Lord your God. He went in the way before you, to search out a place for you, to pitch a tent, to show you the way you should go, and fire by night, and cloud by day. There wasn't a day that went aside that they did not see a miracle take place. Not a day went aside that they did not see a miracle. Manna from heaven, birds from the air, water from rocks, a cloud by day, fire by night. Not a single day without a miracle. And yet they refused to have faith in God. You know what discouraged them? The brethren discouraged them. They had 10 to 12 spies come back and say, "We can't do it. There's giants, strong, fortified cities. No way. It's possible." They wanted the food. Yeah, it's good food. It's plain form with milk and honey. Now again, looking to the series that I'm planning on starting, that I started this morning, consider the cost. The cost of what you say, the cost of your actions, the cost of how we react to things. Not just on yourself, but how it happens to your brothers and sisters. Everybody who's watching, talk about this morning how we are examples to one another, examples in this world. Verse 34 says, "And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angry. He took an oath, saying, 'Surely not one of these men, this evil generation, shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers. Not one, except Caleb." Been entered in and we study Joshua and we're in Judges now. We know that there were people who were probably 19 years old. They're not up to date of accountability or men of war, so they entered into the land with them. They saw these signs. But already, as we went through in Judges and we brought out and talked about all of them, the nephew or son in law of Caleb, whichever way you want to say. Now, here he was. He was a man who already went up and won a battle. He was able to receive the daughter of Caleb before winning that battle. He was there from battle to battle before that. And yet what? He didn't step up until God told him to step up. We have to make the right choices. We have to be there. We have to be meeting one another. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation. Every day we go through our lives, whether you're thinking about the pandemic, virus, whether it's just regular life without the pandemic, you have to choose whether or not you're going to follow God. So we extend the invitation for any who's ready to obey the gospel. That if you hear the words, you've heard what God has commanded from you, and obey. We see the consequences here that if you do not obey the words of God, you do not enter into the land of rest. And though they were inheriting a beautiful land, heaven's going to be greater. If you missed out on heaven, you missed out on all. So if you're here and you need to be baptized, or if you need prayer to congregate, if there's anything you need, let me know.
I'm not ashamed to own.